WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives. One moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
We'll conclude our salute to the 40th anniversary of The Graduate by having our critic at large, John Powers, revisit the film for the first time in 40 years.
I was a sophomore in high school when The Graduate first opened, and I still remember sitting in that Omaha theater and feeling a new kind of thrill wash over me. I'd loved many movies before, but this was the first one that seemed to have been made just for me. In thinking this, of course, I was like millions of others who thought exactly the same thing, which is one reason The Graduate instantly became a touchstone that helped define a whole era. I went to see it again and again during its first run, maybe 10 times in all. But protecting its place in my memory, I didn't watch it again until recently, when I got the 40th anniversary DVD. I popped the disc into the player with trepidation, but from the opening strains of Simon and Garfunkel singing "Hello, Darkness, My Old Friend," I was hooked and relieved. The Graduate still plays like gangbusters. Wonderfully directed by Mike Nichols, it's funny and staged with startling vividness. Back then, Hollywood directors were cribbing great visual ideas from European art movies. No doubt you know the story. A sly, fresh-faced Dustin Hoffman plays Benjamin Braddock, who returns home from college to the L.A. of sunshine and swimming pools. Everybody is pushing him towards a prosperous middle-class future, famously captured in a single word of advice: plastics. But Ben wants something more authentic, and he finds it in the form of Elaine Robinson. That's Catherine Ross, the co-ed daughter of his father's partner. But there's one huge stumbling block. Ben's having an affair with her mother, the worldly alcoholic Mrs. Robinson, played with indelible foxiness by Anne Bancroft, whose crossing and uncrossing legs are as eloquent as any monologue. Her scenes with Ben are modern classics, like this early one, when she invites the naive graduate back to her house, and he starts to panic.
Oh, my God.
Pardon?
Oh, no, Mrs. Robinson. Oh, no.
What's wrong?
Mrs. Robinson, you didn't expect...
What?
I mean, you didn't really think I'd do something like that.
Like what?
What do you think?
Well, I don't know.
For God's sake, Mrs. Robinson. Here we are. You got me into your house. You give me a drink. You put on music. Now you start opening up your personal life to me and tell me your husband won't be home for hours.
So?
Mrs. Robinson, you're trying to seduce me. Aren't you?
Watching The Graduate again flooded me with old passions, all that anxious isolation and thwarted romanticism. But I couldn't help noticing things that had escaped my teenage eyes. Despite hitting the zeitgeist, the movie was actually a bit behind the times. Based on a novel from 1963, a different cultural era, really, it celebrates a brand of timid, youthful innocence that many of Ben and Elaine's contemporaries were happily shedding. In fact, The Graduate represents a fundamental step in the media's domestication of what we think of as the 60s. The movie came out in the days of civil rights marches, Vietnam protests, and the Summer of Love. But none of these appear here. Even when Ben chases Elaine to Berkeley, ground zero of student radicalism, you get nothing more than shots of picturesque quads and a gruff landlord asking him if he's an agitator. Ben says no, and he's right. You see, he and Elaine are ciphers who don't stand for anything more than a generational rejection of their parents' inauthenticity. It was easy for many of us to project our own vague feelings of alienation onto Ben and Elaine because their rebellion didn't make any demands, didn't confer any responsibilities, didn't prove irrevocable. Their rebel attitudes often looked dangerous or apocalyptic, but in their way, they proved as safely suburban as what we were all rebelling against. Small wonder that so many iconoclastic young boomers like Ben and Elaine would turn into middle-aged bourgeois bohemians. I now grasp that the real outlaw is, of course, Mrs. Robinson, who, caught in the era before women's lib, tries to escape the velvet prison of housewifery in ways that boys like me found very scary. Although she's by far the film's most interesting character, I'd pick her over the bland Elaine anytime. It betrays her by turning her into a petty villain who curses like a fishwife when Ben crashes Elaine's wedding. And we're not supposed to care because The Graduate sides with Ben and Elaine. They're the young ones, and that's what matters. Maybe so, but today she's the character who now feels the most daring, the most unconventional, and the most human. She's the real rebel without a cause. I know I'm saying this 40 years too late, but here's to you, Mrs. Robinson.
John Powers is film critic for Vogue. This is Fresh Air.